He could see a light source within.
"Light inside the console," he shouted,
hoping the sound of his voice might convince Mr. Bellamy and Mr. Langdon to exit the cabinet with their hands up. Nothing happened. "Fine, we'll do this the other way." As Simpkins drew closer to the opening, he could hear an unexpected hum rumbling from within. It sounded like machinery. He paused, trying to imagine what could be making such a noise in such a small space. He inched closer, now hearing voices over the sound of machinery. Then, just as he arrived at the opening, the lights inside went out. "Thank you," he thought, adjusting his night vision. "Advantage us." Standing at the threshold, he peered through the opening. What lay beyond was unexpected. The console was less of a cabinet than a raised ceiling over a steep set of stairs that descended into a room below. The agent aimed his weapon down the stairs and began descending. The hum of machinery grew louder with every step. "What the hell is this place?" The room beneath the reading room was a small, industrial-looking space. The hum he heard was indeed machinery, although he was not sure whether it was running because Bellamy and Langdon had activated it or because it ran around the clock. Either way, it clearly made no difference. The fugitives had left their telltale heat signatures on the room's lone exit. A heavy steel door whose keypad showed four clear fingerprints glowing on the numbers. Around the door, slivers of glowing orange shone beneath the door jamb, indicating that lights were illuminated on the other side.
"Blow the door," Simpkins said. "This was their escape route."
It took 8 seconds to insert and detonate a sheet of key four. When the smoke cleared, the field team agents found themselves peering into a strange underground world known here as the Stacks. The Library of Congress had miles and miles of bookshelves, most of them underground. The endless rows of shelves looked like some kind of infinity optical illusion created with mirrors. A sign announced, "Temperature-controlled environment. Keep this door closed at all times." Simpkins pushed through the mangled doors and felt cool air beyond. He couldn't help but smile. Could this get any easier? Heat signatures in controlled environments showed up like solar flares, and already his goggles revealed a glowing red smear on a banister up ahead, which Bellamy or Langdon had grabbed onto while running past. "You can run," he whispered to himself, "but you can't hide." As Simpkins and his team advanced into the maze of stacks, he realized the playing field was tipped so heavily in his favor that he would not even need his goggles to track his prey. Under normal circumstances, this maze of stacks would have been a respectable hiding place, but the Library of Congress used motion-activated lights to save energy, and the fugitive's escape route was now lit up like a runway. A narrow strip of illumination stretched into the distance, dodging and weaving as it went. All the men ripped off their goggles. Surging ahead on well-trained legs, the field team followed the trail of lights, zigging and zagging through a seemingly endless labyrinth of books. Soon Simpkins began seeing lights flickering on in the darkness up ahead. "We're gaining." He pushed harder, faster, until he heard footsteps and labored breathing ahead. Then he saw a target.
"I've got visual," he yelled.
The lanky form of Warren Bellamy was apparently bringing up the rear. The primly dressed African-American staggered through the stacks, obviously out of breath. "It's no use, old man."
"Stop right there, Mr. Bellamy," Simpkins yelled.
Bellamy kept running, turning sharp corners, weaving through the rows of books. At every turn, the lights kept coming on over his head. As the team drew within 20 yards, they shouted again to stop, but Bellamy ran on.
"Take him down," Simpkins commanded.
The agent carrying the team's non-lethal rifle raised it and fired. The projectile that launched down the aisle and wrapped itself around Bellamy's legs was nicknamed Silly String, but there was nothing silly about it. A military technology invented at Sandia National Laboratories, this non-lethal incapacitant was a thread of gooey polyurethane that turned rock hard on contact, creating a rigid web of plastic across the back of the fugitive's knees. The effect on a running target was that of jamming a stick into the spokes of a moving bike. The man's legs seized mid-stride, and he pitched forward, crashing to the floor. Bellamy slid another 10 feet down a darkened aisle before coming to a stop, the lights above him flickering unceremoniously to life.
"I'll deal with Bellamy," Simpkins shouted. "You keep going after Langdon. He must be up ahead some— The team leader stopped, now seeing that the library stacks ahead of Bellamy were all pitch black. Obviously, there was no one else running in front of Bellamy. He's alone? Bellamy was still on his chest, breathing heavily, his legs and ankles all tangled with hardened plastic. The agent walked over and used his foot to roll the old man over onto his back. Where is he? The agent demanded. Bellamy's lip was bleeding from the fall.
Where is who?
Agent Simpkins lifted his foot and placed his boot squarely on Bellamy's pristine silk tie. Then he leaned in, applying some pressure.
Believe me, Mr. Bellamy, you do not want to play this game with me.
Chapter 59. Robert Langdon felt like a corpse. He lay supine, hands folded on his chest, in total darkness, trapped in the most confined of spaces. Although Catherine lay nearby in a similar position near his head, Langdon could not see her. He had his eyes closed to prevent himself from catching even a fleeting glimpse of his frightening predicament. The space around him was small. Very small. 60 seconds ago, with the double doors of the reading room crashing down, he and Catherine had followed Bellamy into the octagonal console, down a steep set of stairs, and into the unexpected space below. Langdon had realized at once where they were.
The heart of the library's circulation system.
Resembling a small airport baggage distribution center, the circulation room had numerous conveyor belts that angled off in different directions. Because the Library of Congress was housed in three separate buildings, books requested in the reading room often had to be transported great distances by a system of conveyors through a web of underground tunnels. Bellamy immediately crossed the room to a steel door, where he inserted his keycard, typed a sequence of buttons, and pushed open the door. The space beyond was dark, but as the door opened, a span of motion sensor lights flickered to life. When Langdon saw what lay beyond, he realized he was looking at something few people ever saw. The Library of Congress stacks. He felt encouraged by Bellamy's plan. What better place to hide than in a giant labyrinth? Bellamy did not guide them into the stacks, however. Instead, he propped the door open with a book and turned back to face them.
I had hoped to be able to explain a lot more to you, but we have no time.
He gave Langdon his keycard.
You'll need this.
You're not coming with us? Langdon asked. Bellamy shook his head.
You'll never make it unless we split up. The most important thing is to keep that pyramid and capstone in safe hands.
Langdon saw no other way out.